Mafia Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. I am the main host and frontman for the show, the Reverend Godfather, and I am here this week to bring you an interview that we recorded this past December 4th, 2016, when we were at the Winter Pop Culture and Comic Wonderland in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. And the person we interviewed there and for this episode was the lovely, talented, and energetic Samantha Newark. Some of you who might not know who she is, but you might know who she voiced. That's right, she voiced, bring up her IMDb here, she voiced Jerrica Benton and Jem from the original cartoon Jem. I think in some circles it's also known as Jem and the Holograms. In this episode, she talks about her career as a musician, her time on being a voice actor, her thoughts on the live-action movie, and a whole mess of great stuff that I encourage you to listen to. It was a great and fun interview to do. And so I might add, for some of you who, for the guys out there going, oh man, Jem was a girl's cartoon, don't forget she also voiced two characters in the first what some classify as the Generation 1 cartoon of the Transformers as Elsie Presser and Ariel. She was two of the female Autobots, first female Autobots for that show. So, either way, I'm going to step back and let the interview take over for right then. I'll see you on the other end of the show.
Hello, folks. This is Reverend Godfather, still at the Winter Pop Culture and Comic Wonderland in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. I'm here with the very lovely Samantha Newark, who most of you, if you are old enough, remember her voicing the lovely Jem from Jem and the Holograms, and I think it was she had an alter ego as well, right?
Yes, the alter ego was Jerrica Benton.
I'm going to start it out simple. What's it like being a voice actors, and how did you get started in being a voice actress?
It's a wonderful, wonderful gig, and finally all the celebrities figured that out. So, I mean, a lot of the animated films you see now, it's huge, huge star names, but it's such a great... I started off singing. I'm still a singer-songwriter, so it was kind of a medium that was very comparable in a way, so I took to it like a fish to water, and just loved it.
I was going to ask you, in reference to singing, you just said you sung in the past. Prior to the role of Jem, how long were you singing?
I didn't do the singing for Jem. The music was all done in New York.
Oh, I was going to ask you if you were sung for Jem.
Yeah, it was a big secret at the time. They did a lot of that in the 80s, but all the singing voices were cast in New York before they hired the voice actors. So basically they were matching our speaking voices to the singing voices, and Britta Phillips is a singing voice, and she's also a voice actor, and I'm the speaking voice, but I'm also a singer-songwriter, so...
So you two kind of collaborated on some of the stuff,
Nobody actually had the opportunity to meet during the run of the show. It's only been since the comic book conventions that we've all kind of started to reunite over the years, so...
How do you view, or because Jem's been around for many, many years, do you think that, and now it's still on Netflix, do you think Jem has the aspect of a, I don't mean this in a bad way, a positive female role model for girls out there?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't see a whole lot out there for young girls. I know there was a big, you know, a lot of fans were mad about the live action film that came out last year, but at the end of the day, it's a female-driven film with a positive message for young girls and for kids, and, you know, I'm all for that, and there are are so many universes of Jem. There's Robot Chicken Jem. There's the comic book Jem. There's the original cartoon. There's the film. There's even Jizz for the adult Jem people that know what I'm talking about.
I'm oddly horrified to know and oddly curious. If kids at home that might be listening to this, do not. It's a no, no, no.
No. Jem going to the dark side.
It seemed like Jem was early 80s, mid 80s trend of music video type cartoons with, I think Jem was a during the week show versus a Saturday morning show.
I don't really remember, to be honest with you.
I had to look it up myself.
Yeah, but it was the dawning of MTV, pretty much. I mean, MTV came a little before Jem, but it was groundbreaking in the sense that they had, like, real music videos in the middle of the cartoon, you know, with the credit of, like, you know, Twilight in Paris by Jem and the Holograms. And it was great. And they incorporated it into each episode.
Because you see, with that Jem, knocking the cartoon at all, because again I had to look it up, because I remember seeing these shows as kids. You had Vid Kids, you had Kid Video, which was on, both were Saturday morning, that, you know, somehow incorporated a video or a parody or a cover of a song where Jem had a rich 2-minute little snippet or a minute long snippet from both aspects of it. Also, you are not only Jem, you are also part of the Transformers. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I play Ariel. Actually, I did 3 different characters. I was Ariel, who transforms into Alita 1. Alita 1 was actually played by Maureen Aragon, who's the voice of Synergy in Jem. And RC is played by Sue Blue, who played Stormer in Jem. So I play a pink robot Ariel. And I also play a high school girl named Elise Presser, who's building a robot. Did like 2 episodes of that, and then I did a Zamagin Empress. So it's pretty awesome to be a part of the Transformers brand as well as the Jem brand, because they're, you know, they're so iconic. They just don't make the cartoons like they used to, you know.
Being that I said, being part of 2 iconic cartoons, one that obviously came from the Asian market, and I think Jem was from the American market. What's it like being part of 2, in essence, iconic, classic cartoons that are out there?
I mean, you don't think about that when you're doing the work. You know, you're just hoping to do the best work that you possibly can. I don't think any of us really knew that we'd be here still talking about this work that we did. But it's fantastic. It's really a treasure. It's an honor to be a part of brands that have stood the test of time, because they are really special to so many people. So
I know you briefly.
I'm gonna take off my coat.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Burning up.
It's folks at home. It's not what you think. Again, Samantha is a very lovely woman, and I'm not going to hold that against. She has aged very. I haven't seen young pictures of her, so I'm going to say she's aged very well.
People still say I look pretty much the same, and I sound the same, which is nice.
I gotta sit because my knees are going out.
Yeah.
I'm not as young as I was either. I think I know you touched on the live action Jem movie. I think it wasn't the fact, from what I heard, it wasn't the fact that some of the things were changed. It was that the folks behind the scenes, mostly the producers and probably the studio, contacted a lot of the fans, the old school fans, to be a part of the movie, and where they were remembering the nostalgia of the show that you were part with, and where the movie went left instead of mirroring, you know, think everybody was thinking it was going to be part of, like, the cartoon or similar to it.
People wanted to audition for the role of Jem, for the role of Jerrica. So, I mean, I do understand. I get it. I just, it was, I guess I saw it in more of a business paradigm, because I just thought this is a chance for the Jem brand to come out to a whole new generation of kids who will then investigate the source material and fall in love with the cartoon. So, you know, in my business, we're so used to not, we can't get attached to anything because you end up in a mental institution if you got attached to what you want, wanted things to look like and got attached to outcomes. So I guess I was coming more from that place, you know, and it was just lovely to be invited to be a part of it. And, you know, maybe we'll get a sequel, maybe we won't, but yeah, it would have been nice if they'd stuck more closely to the original. And
are you surprised that Gem has lasted this long, or that it has held up this long?
Yeah, I mean, who knew? But, you know, looking back, it's got so much heart, and it's obviously it's really campy and over the top, and it's screams 80s in every way, but it's got a genuine real heart to it. And I remember when I auditioned for it, they told me, you know, we want very real reads. We want the kids to feel like you're their friends and they can look up to you. So they didn't want us real cartoony. And I think that, you know, they also weren't afraid to jump into some pretty dark subject matter, because, I mean, Gem opens with a funeral. So they deal with the death of a parent, and they deal with drug addiction and all kinds of pretty intense stuff in a cartoon. And they did it really, really well.
Granted, it was campy. And you went from there. What other work after that have you done prior, after?
Oh, gosh. I did everybody has to have a cheesy B-horror movie in their arsenal, so I was in a horror movie, actually, when I was working on Gem. And I did a ton of commercials, and then I've been a musician since I've been singing since I was a small kid, so I have a ton of my music in film and TV, and I really started to focus on that when the celebrities were starting to really, you know, I was auditioning against Alicia Silverstone and Drew Barrymore, and, you know, they were going with names. So I really kind of was at a turning point where I wanted to focus more on my songwriting and my music. And
you're talking in reference to animation voice acting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I didn't get a chance to speak about that particular talk with Michelle, I'll ask you, I know there has been some resentment with a lot of the mainstream voice actors. I'm not going to mention names. The ones that have the vocal variety,
yeah,
to do the variant of voices, there seems to be a little bit of disdain because a lot of studios are going with the Drew Barrymores, the Alicia Silverstones, the Tom Cruises. What are your thoughts in reference to that?
Well, you know, I mean, it's just the business. It's show business, and you got to be in it for the long haul, and you got to just love what you do and adapt to the new landscape. So that's what I did, and I've always loved music. It's been my passion forever. So I was like, oh, okay. So I guess I'm getting pushed into, like, fronting a million bands and touring with a Pink Floyd tribute band and writing music. And so, you know.
Before we move to music, because I wouldn't mind touching on that for a little bit, and to get away from, I know you'd be asking a whole mess of Gem questions this past weekend, but, oh, sorry. How would you feel about if Gem actually was remade again as a cartoon?
It's okay. It would be fantastic. And I've thought, you know, how wonderful if Netflix developed something maybe based more on the original and maybe sort of taking it into the 21st century like the comic books have would be really fun. And I know a lot of us voice actors are still around. You know, I'm actually really good friends with the voice of Pizzazz, Patricia. We both live in Nashville. So, you know, who knows what Hasbro has up its sleeve, but it'd be really fun to see it come back because it's such a sweet property, and it means so much to the original generation, but it's got such a good message for kids. You know?
Moving to what kind of, you said you're singing now, what kind of or type of music are you singing?
Well, I've been a session singer in LA for a million years, so I've sung everything.
Don't mean to pause you, but for the sake of the listeners, what is a session singer?
It's where you get hired to sing jingles and songs for other songwriters that are getting pitched to other artists, and songs for songwriters that are being pitched to film and TV. So I've done a ton of that. And it's like, you know, can you sound like a 16-year-old girl, Avril Lavigne, no vibrato for this, you know, soundtrack or whatever. So I've done lots of stuff like that. So I've sung pretty much everything. But my own artist vibe, I'm moving into more of a dance music realm, which I love. And so I've sung pop, basically, with dance electronica elements. I've got a new album coming out in February called Hologram, which is kind of my love letter to the fans that have.
I was going to ask you what's coming out, but you said you were a singer since 13. I was going to ask you if being a part of Jem and the Holograms led to you to become a singer.
No, actually, I did my first professional show in South Africa when I was 7, and made a record when I was 8 and toured all over Africa when I was a little kid and sang for the Prime Minister. And so I've been performing since my dad says before I cut my second teeth. But no, Jem was just such an awesome thing. Kind of got to live out my rock star fantasies because it was like, hey, thanks for coming to our concert and we're Jem and the Holograms. Yay! And, you know, it was awesome to just step into those
into that role of a high-end pop singer without actually stepping in.
Exactly. And, you know, I've sung materials similar to what Britta had to do with Jem, like belting chest voice super, super high, and it's not the funnest way to sing. So, my hat's off to her. I didn't actually have to do that, which was great. And I got to focus on this whole other realm of voice work, which was just an epic, amazing time. Working with the incredible voice actors, we recorded ensemble together, which was very, very fun.
What advice do you have to the up-and-coming singer and voice actor or actress?
I just say really learn your craft. You know, go take classes. There are lots of workshops for voice actors where you can learn about your craft. You can also get a reel done. And, you know, and also what you guys have that I didn't have back in the day is YouTube and the internet, because anything that you want to really wrap your brain around, there are tutorials and there are people who have put it out there. You can have mentors online, basically, and that's an incredible gift. So I would highly recommend taking advantage of that, because otherwise, you know, you're just kind of plodding along, doing the best you can.
Do you have any message for a lot of the young, I don't want to say girls, young ladies out there that want to step into the role? I know what I asked was general, but a little kind of a message to the young ladies out there that might be guessing themselves.
You don't have to take off your clothes to be successful. And, you know, just really find what makes you unique and embrace that, because I think at the end of the day, when we're all trying to like be like everybody else, you lose your specialness. And I think the people that rise in the business are the ones that we perceive as somehow special, but I think they're just being their unique, beautiful selves, and they're sharing the unique talent. So nurture that, and don't let anybody push you around, and be kind and be on time and be your word and go kick some butt.
Well, even though this is going to be a short episode, is there anything else you'd like to say to everybody out there?
Thank you, all of you that already follow me on my social media. And I'm easy to find. If you don't, it's SamanthaNewark.com. And I hope you'll say hi. I admin my pages when I'm able to, and I like corresponding with the fans. So
I'll let you know. Thank you for the interview, Samantha. I'll contact you through your social media. I'll let you know when the episode is posted. Thank you, guys.
Welcome back, everybody. Again, that was the lovely, talented, and energetic Samantha Newark from Jem and the Holograms, Transformers, plus a whole mess of other stuff. I hope you enjoyed the interview. And while I have you here, I'm going to give a shout-out to a guy who gave us a great little gift earlier this month, and that is George Spike Real. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, George. He gave us, I'll go into it in our hostful later this month, in reference to what he gave us, but he gave us a great bit of audio gold. Let me put it like this. What George does is he's the voice of Pittsburgh. Let me put it like that. He's the voice of Pittsburgh. He does a lot of the radio stuff there and a lot of voiceovers for the Pittsburgh area. And he gave me, or not so much me, the show, plus a bunch of other people, a gift earlier this month of his talent, his wonderful talent. I'm going to say it like this. When I get the funds together and I need more voiceover, professional voiceover work done, I am going to see George Spike Reel. That's right. You heard it first. I'm going to, when I get the funds together and I need voiceover work, I'm going to get it from George. And it's coming off as a promo. It kind of is. He deserves, I'll go into it with my co-hosts. He deserves every aspect of it. And I want to give him a shout out. Let me put it like this. You'll hear his stuff. I'll start weaving what he gave to the show in later episodes. You might hear it in our hostful. I'm not sure. But let me put it like this. If our show needed a voice of God, he would be our voice of God. You heard us say that, or at least me and Big Candy say that before in reference to Coast AM, having how they have their voice of God, because of their voiceover guy has that deep baritone voice, you know, that powering voice. Well, George Spike Reel has a similar deep baritone, and he, I will want to say, he'll be our voice of God when we need him. And what he gave us was way more than we asked for. Thank you, George. Thank you so much. This is basically just in case our hostful doesn't come out in time. We do recommend, at least I recommend George. He was very kind to us. He gave us a lot of great stuff. I'm not going to include what he gave us here. I might include it in our hostful that we do next, the hostful coming up that we're doing. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. So take care, guys. George, if you're listening to this, thank you so, so much for what you gave the show, your gift. I can't recommend you guys enough. If we need your talents, show needs your talents, we'll get scratched to get the funds together and pay for your service in reference to what we need. I will recommend your services to a lot of people if they need your services and have to inquire with that. I'll get between now and I'll say this on air, between now and our hostful, I'll get with, you, George, in reference to links to provide to help better promote your stuff and your craft. Again, if you, I want to say, if you see George, you know George personally, if you live in the Pittsburgh area and you know him and you see him around, tell him hi, treat him well, so forth and so on. Great. He's a great guy. No, not much more. I'm not going to stretch this out anymore. But I will say, if you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks, please email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Like and review us on iTunes if you subscribe to us on iTunes. It does help the show out. If you're able to do so on Google, we are on Google Play Music. If you listen to us that way, please, if you can, rate and review us there. It does help us out. It gets us a little bit more exposure. If you want to listen to everything past the 20th, what Google Play Music and iTunes provide, because I know with podcasts like mine, they only go up to maybe episode 20 episodes back, and you want to listen to our past catalog in reference to what we've done, you can always visit our website, which is longcoatmafia.podbean.com. We do have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/longcoatmafiapodcast. Our Twitter is longcoatmafia, and our Instagram is longcoatmafia, so you could always find us there and subscribe and like us and see what we post. So we are, like I keep telling a lot of people, we are a very listener interactive friendly podcast. So if you do message us and you do email us, we will read your stuff on air. You just have to email us and talk to us. We are that friendly. So take care, guys. Have a good rest of the month. And we'll see you next episode. Later.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on. It's a classic. The only show in the world that gets better the more it's re-run.
Do I get a choice? No! No!
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.